children, obey your parents. Now, when he says in the Lord, he's not saying if they're outside the Lord, you don't have to do that. He's lending force to the statement. He's saying you're Christian too. You are in the Lord. Act that way. You know, God, to the whole duty of the child in the home is to obey the parents. The parents are as though they were God. No, they're not God. Don't misunderstand. But this is precedence for this in Scripture.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick as he begins a new chapter in Ephesians, chapter 6, on today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
Well, we are still considering authority and relationships in this sixth chapter of Ephesians. And as I opened last week, every time a pastor steps into the pulpit, he steps into an arena, at least of ideas. Confrontation and conflict await him if he's not careful. Something someone has picked up somewhere, perhaps he's misspoken or gotten something wrong, whatever the case may be, it's always a dangerous place. Pulpits ought to be made out of Kevlar in the form of a shield. Somebody waiting to pounce, waiting to assert themselves. And I think this is important for our topic. Last week we discussed marriage relationships, which is an unpleasant topic from the pulpit because you want everyone to get along. You want them to figure it out on their own. When Jesus says, you know, cherish your wives, you don't want anyone to have to miss that and go in and patch it up. You want them to do it. And when we begin in this morning, it's going to say, children, obey your parents. We should be able to close in prayer at that point. There's nothing to add to it. Yeah. Now, I don't know how to take that. Talk about the Kevlar. Some think it a sign of personal genius, proof of loyalty to Jesus, to disagree with the ones Jesus has appointed to preach the word. They think that they're not alive unless they can argue something or disagree or complain. I hope this is not you. This is not how Christ has set the church up. It's juvenile, actually. It's what we would expect from the juvenile believer or a person. Men who can't call their pastor have a problem. I bring it up because it's not uncommon. They just can't do it. They don't want to do it. They think that they're surrendering some authority, that they are diminished. They do not understand that Christ has given this to the church. And they do not also understand that Jesus himself taught us that to be a servant of authority, you must be a servant under authority. He often spoke about how he himself was under the authority of his Father. Well, he wasn't just blowing that out there. He wanted us to understand what it takes to be effective. This is important in a family. This is important for children to understand. Serve your time under the authority of your parents. And the day will come when very likely you will be a parent and you will want the same from your children. Without this, there is a breakdown in order. Without this authority, legitimate authority, there's no way to enforce good over evil. And I think one of the culprits outside of personal pride that hinders this process is insecurity, which is a lack of faith. I'm afraid that if I yield to the authorities that God has put before me, that he personally has drawn me to, that if I yield to them, somehow I will make myself vulnerable. That's paranoia. You won't get very far with a clumsy army like that. They're just things you cannot do against the devil if you are surrounded by people who think that way. A family cannot function as a unit of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, if she is loaded down with infighting, insecurity. Jesus said a house divided cannot stand, can't serve two masters. This is all very simple, very easy to discuss, but it's very complicated when it breaks down. Once someone begins to have a problem, there's a process involved of correcting it most of the time, and it's an unpleasant process. And it's made worse by the individual's impatience and immaturity. Well, that is the preface to our subject. Now, if you're not a believer and you're attending here this morning, and I more than likely another believer has brought you here with them, many times you go to church and the gospel message is about salvation that Jesus Christ brings to us. It's an evangelical message. Well, we do business a little differently, yet we don't lose sight of the importance of the evangelistic message. But we go through the Bible verse by verse because we know within these verses, God is speaking. And we know that within the assembly, God is speaking. He is isolating individuals as only he can, and he is reaching them as only he can. But if we just preach the salvation message every Sunday, we will end up with Christians who will go elsewhere to supply the very critical things they need to examine. And when they begin to go elsewhere, it's fragmented. It's not a good thing. They become, you know, seed pickers, a little bit here, a little bit there, and the authority, again, that Christ has established is greatly diminished. This is true in the home, where if the children are going outside of the home to try to find out what honor is, what courage means, what nobility and discipline, what these things are. If they go outside of the home, it's disastrous. These things should be found in-house, and it should be something well-received. Isn't it puzzling that sometimes Hollywood can get it right, and the church cannot? Hollywood sometimes, rarely, but sometimes, they go astray from their course, and they get it right. I think of an old classic, How Green Was My Valley. And, you know, such a solid family unit that disintegrates as time goes on through the movie, which expresses the hardship of life. But here's this Welsh family in England and Wales, and they're coal miners, and the family structure is solid. The dad maintains a steady control of the home, and he's got these boys who are, or men, actually, and, you know, they're not humiliated. They're no less men because they're under his authority. And it comes out in the movie that he's taught them well. They stand up and say, Father, I stand for truth, and I will not be silenced in the face of, you know, that which is hypocrisy. And it's a very wonderful movie, if you have a chance to watch it from the eyes of Christ, filtered through Jesus Christ, of course. Now, you don't come to church to have movies endorsed. But sometimes, you know, they get to a point that is difficult to get to in a half hour or an hour or however much time it takes just speaking these words. Okay, well, back to where we are. Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles with you. Ephesians chapter 6. I like to go to verse 10 and start there because that's where the action is. And it is a challenge for the speaker to speak on things that he believes his audience already knows, because then he feels he's just wasting their time. I mean, how can I make this any more interesting than what it is right there on the surface? But when we get to other verses, then, you know, you have, as the speaker, a greater chance of bringing out things that may have been passed over in the audience as they view it. And so that will come next week. Next week we deal with our relationship to the spiritual, to the unseen. But this week we're dealing with the children, and we are dealing with the employer-employee relationship. In verse 1, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." A simple task made complicated by the self-will, by rebellion, by an untamed heart. Very simple. Obey your parents. Now, he's not talking. He's not saying, parents, get your children to obey you. He's going right to the kids. You who are teenagers still in the home, obey your parents. What is so complicated? Oh, but you don't have to when you don't want to, right? Wrong. You don't have to when you don't see the logic, right? Wrong. Well, you know, the Lord is watching. Now, I'm not trying to scare you and, you know, God's going to get you for this, but he is. I mean, how can he bless a knucklehead? Even God can't. It's like, I want to bless you. He's going to tell us that in the second verse. I want to bless you, but you are too much of a beast. You want to act like you're some kind of pony or something. Well, we put bridles in their mouths to control them. That's in the Word of God. Don't be like a horse or a mule or a donkey, where I've got to put some pain on you to get you to go in the direction that I need you to go in. Am I not God, and are you not the created vessel? Yes or no? Some will dare to debate that. But children, obey your parents. He says, this is right. Anything less than this is wrong. It's going against the structure of legitimate authority. Now, when he covers this yet again in Colossians 3, he adds a little bit more to it when he writes to the church in Colossae. He says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. All things means all things. Now, when someone messes this ideal up, remember when Moses gave this commandment that Paul is about to speak, he gave it to a people who had pledged allegiance to the covenant. And therefore, they had, by consent, made themselves subject to God's way. Well, when someone steps out of that covenant, the whole thing goes wild. It doesn't work right now. When you use things the way they weren't supposed to be made, to be used, when it comes to God, it is serious. It is severe. And yes, trying to reason with a child is very helpful sometimes. Other times, it's useless. They are not where you are. Their perception's not there. They cannot appreciate it. This is what we've been going over with our faith. We raise our children. We who have come to Christ, who've lived in the world, have been saved by the mercy of Christ, have come to Christ. We have a great passion for him. And then we have children. And the quest to have our children love the Lord Jesus as much as we do is a great challenge. They seem to assume the faith instead of locking into it, instead of grabbing hold of it with everything they've got. They sort of go along with mom and dad's religion. Now, they may be true believers, but the zeal for the Lord seems to more easily diminish in the lives of children who are born into Christian homes. This doesn't have to be the way it goes, but this often seems to be the way it goes. And then their children abandon the faith altogether. I don't know why children in suburbia have so many ridiculous hang-ups. Well, they're not ridiculous in the sense that there's a real problem there. But they're, you know, if they didn't go through a famine, they're not refugees from war. You would expect that people who have gone through famines, through diseases in whole villages, who live in the squalor of the slums of, say, Bangladesh or something like that, you know, you would expect them to have all these problems. But suburbia, where they have asphalted roads and nice houses, nice clothes, never miss a meal, they have sports, they have television, they've got internet, they got all this stuff, and yet they've got hang-ups. What is your problem? Oh, it's the devil. Yeah, but you can't blame him. You can't blame the enemy for attacking. Blame the righteous for not counterattacking, for not having defenses up, for not sending out patrols to go look for trouble before it gets too close. And I'm talking to you teens. You think you got problems. Some of you might have some serious problems. Maybe you got health issues or somebody is a bully at school. Just let me know later. I'll come down and outsourced my protection to my pastor. Anyway, maybe you've got some real problems, but more than likely you don't. You should be occupied with building up with perfecting the things that are being given to you, with appreciating them. Learn to appreciate. Think about what you have. Learn to enjoy it. Learn to use it. Understand it. You should have a lot more road ahead of you. And now is the time to be ready, so that as you come along, go along that road and you make the stops, you are useful to your God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you're too young to fall in love with Jesus. Nowhere in the scripture is it recorded that you cannot begin serving him right now. Many of you older saints wish you could go back in time and start serving the Lord earlier on in your life. And so, children, obey your parents. Now, when he says in the Lord, he's not saying if they're outside the Lord, you don't have to do that. He's lending force to the statement. He's saying you're Christian too. You are in the Lord. Act that way. You know, God, to the whole duty of the child in the home is to obey the parents. The parents are as though they were God. No, they're not God. Don't misunderstand. But this is precedence for this in Scripture. Moses, the prophet, was sent to the people of God and to Egypt. And he was to be like God, and Aaron was to be his prophet in type. Now, Moses would, you know, if you had said, called Moses God, he'd have you stoned. And so we're not saying that the parents become God, but they are in that position of supreme authority in the Lord. I didn't mark it in my scripture, so I've got to find it here. Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. So he said, he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as the mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And this is the case in the home, where the parents are the supreme authority to that little child. And as the child is young and small, that very much is the case. If they're tamed, and you better start early on, we'll get Proverbs 19. Some of you parents really need to write this down three times. It's the same verse, just over and over and over. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Early on, begin to tame them. No. Train them. They are depending on you and they don't even know it. If you wait to close the barn door after the horse is gone, you are going to have worse problems. So in the Lord, the child is to obey the parent. There are many examples of negligent parents. Eli comes to mind. Eli was a man of God. And his negligence as a father in correcting his children early on gave us Hophni and Phinehas, two thug priests. That's what they were. They were thugs, and they were priests. And the people became bitter because of them towards the priesthood. And this section of Ephesians 6 deals with neglecting the position and the consequence thereof. Hagar, she was another one. She should have tamed Ishmael. She would never had the problems. Ishmael would not have had the problems that he had. His hand against every man and every man's hand against him. Why? Because he did not respect parental authority early on. And so he didn't respect parental authority. And if you are raised that way, you have a greater chance of not respecting any authority. Legitimate authority we're talking about. You might respect false authorities because they offer some hope or there's something that you can save your own skin by. But when it comes to simply submitting because this is right, because this is what order is, you are going to struggle more than likely if you don't get it in the home early on. And so he continues in verse 2. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, it is the fifth commandment in order, but the first one that comes along with a promise. And he says it in verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Not just live long, but live long with a blessing, that you will be useful. Now, there are again, let's put it this way. Honor your father and mother. That word honor goes a long way. It is a far-reaching word. How do you define it? A person's got to get this in them. They've got to understand what it means to be dishonorable, to not be noble, to be, you know, a peasant-like with their behavior, beneath the standard, far beneath what they were created to be. Honor is a high thing. And it's you know, so many young men in their 20s have no code. They think that now that they're adults, they're just free to resist and to rebel, to have their own mind, to be a free spirit, and they have no code. They don't belong to something. In the military, you get that. There's a chain of command. You belong to something greater than yourself. The consequence of going against the system is severe, and it should be. But not all of our young adults are able to get this. Start getting it now. There's nothing wrong with submission when it is legitimate, when it comes from God, when it is going somewhere, when it's going to bless you, and when it's going to bless others through you. And you know, again, why people so often leave churches is because they want to assert their own authority. I showed them. I'm going to punish them. They're going to miss me when that seat is empty. You're picking a fight with God. That's just dumb. But we practice it. We want to assert ourselves. We don't even like to hear that this is so, because especially if you've been guilty of it. I've done that before. Well, stop doing it. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forward. You say, well, you know, I haven't always been a good parent. I have not tamed my child. Right. Forget the past in the sense that it's going to just peck you to death. Reach forward. Put a plan in place. Find out whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. Find out what these things are. And stop looking to teach everyone else that you don't have to listen to what they're saying. There are many examples in Scripture of those who were under the wrong authority, yet they behave magnanimously. They were noble men. Joseph was one. Daniel, Mordecai, those that were put under the wrong authority, yet they functioned and they produced. Nehemiah is another one. There's many of them. In my life, when I entered the steel industry, I had no friends and family in that business, which you need. You have to have a sponsor. And God, in his mercy, prepared me for the industry, and he spoke a very simple word, be like Joseph. That's all he said to me. Just be like Joseph. And by the time it was, you know, I couldn't go to the bar and drink with everybody and make buddies there by buying them rounds and whatever it is they do in there. I couldn't do any of that. And again, I had no family. Well, I'm so-and-so's kid, you know, I had nothing. But I was a Joseph. I simply served. And God blessed it, and he blessed it big. And because of that, I excelled in the industry to superstar status. It's true, but I'm humble, so I can't tell you all the details. I learned firsthand what it meant to just be a servant and just let God take the lead. And guys would quit. I'm quitting this job if I don't get, and they'd quit and go, and I'd stay, and man, I'd get medals. And people would call me up. We want you to come work for us. They would lay family members off when it was time to downsize the job and keep me. And it was just all the Lord. And so I know something about, personally, firsthand, what the Scriptures are saying. But you should know it by faith, not because someone else told you it happened to them and now you want to see it happen to you. You should know it because the Word of God says it, and you believe it, and you're going to do it. And if you aren't under the authority in the home, well, what's going to happen when you get in the workplace? You'll be the guy that they keep having meetings about. You'll be the guy they call the lawyers about, or the HR. You know, can we fire them? Can we punch them, then fire them? People dislike you so much. Christians shouldn't be this way. Whether you're working in a sacred work, in ministry, or you're working in a secular work, in the world, you still have to give an account to Jesus Christ. You still stand or fall before him. It's not trivial. We'll get to this when we get to master and servant. You know, the slave. The slave still has to give an account to Jesus Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.